Fourth and final hour on this Monday afternoon. Darren, Donnick, and Chase. The run has come to an end, unfortunately. Titans fell in Kansas City yesterday, 35-24. Certainly a much better game than the nightcap. NFC.
Wow.
Packers. If they don't go back to San Francisco for the next decade, they will probably be just fine with that.
That was a hot knife through butter.
Again.
Maybe even more lopsided than the first one.
No, I don't think it was more lopsided, but it didn't get much better.
That 49er defensive line is legit. I'm really curious to see if that front four can get to Mahomes without the blitzers, which is what the Titans smartly tried to do. There were many, many plays where the Titans chose to rush three and maybe have a fourth guy as a spy trying to keep Mahomes from getting outside, and it just didn't. They forced Mahomes to go 10 yards at a time most of the game. They neutralized Kelce. They did a lot of things that they wanted to do, and yet they still gave up 35. But they didn't have the guy that could just, with a three-man rush or a four-man rush, still get there. The 49ers might. That defensive line is dynamic. They were all the Packers could not protect Aaron Rodgers. They just couldn't do it. And then on the offensive end, everybody meet Raheem Mostert. Or Mostert.
Mostert.
If you didn't know much about him before, you do now.
Well, he's been running the ball.
He's been very efficient.
He hasn't been going for 200 yards
right,
and four touchdowns.
Because they've split the duties. They've had some different guys do well, but their running game has been phenomenal. It just hasn't all been him until yesterday.
I mean, he was 220 yards and four touchdowns.
He had 160 and three at the half.
On 29 carries. And he had two catches.
That's pretty awesome.
I want to say Garoppolo went over an hour of real time without passing the ball.
I think that's right. He only attempted eight passes.
Yeah.
Eight passes.
And it was like, what, almost two full quarters without them passing the ball because Mostert was that good yesterday?
That's like Dolphins in the 70s kind of offense.
Well, I mean, that's why I kept comparing. To me, Garoppolo and Tannehill feel a lot the same. They really do.
But Garoppolo.
49ers and Titans are built a lot alike. Defense
right.
and running.
But the thing about Garoppolo and Tannehill, when those offenses were going, is that if you cheat too much, they are good enough to burn you. Garoppolo is good enough to burn you. Tannehill's passing numbers were really good for the season. During the, I guess, what ends up being a 9-4 run for Tannehill?
There's no question. Look, his red zone efficiency was insane. Jimmy Garoppolo's
maybe unsustainable.
Very, very good. Like they're perfect for the teams that they're with, but it's really not relied on them. Can they? Yes, they can. But week in and week out, they're not going in with the game plan of our quarterback is the guy. Like the Kansas City Chiefs go in knowing that the weight of the shoulders of that team is on Mahomes, right? It is up to him to lead them to victory. It's not up to Garoppolo and Tannehill. Yes, they need to be good. Yes, they can do things, but it's not really up to them. They can win in spite of them. Tannehill went to Foxborough and attempted, what, 15 passes? For 72 yards, and they won against the defending Super Bowl champs at their place. Jimmy Garoppolo attempted eight passes for 77 yards, and they carved up the Packers in the NFC Championship game. He attempted eight passes. Now, they didn't do that all year, just like the Titans didn't with Tannehill. But I'm just saying that you're not dependent on those guys. You can win in spite of them. The way these two teams are constructed. But I go back to the conversation, what I think is intriguing and interesting about what we had, the very spirited conversation in the second hour. What's interesting is that just wasn't a sports talk show subject. Like, it could actually happen. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying it actually is could be in the cards. Like, it's not crazy to think that. It's not some just... You're just throwing something out there to get attention or to give it. Like, it's something that could be in the cards. Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill. Like, Tom Brady could actually be an option for them. And if he was an actual option for them for a year, would you do it? Now, myself and Chase and Tron Davenport said yes. You said no. Stick with Ryan Tannehill. And I said, it's not really, this is not an indictment against Tannehill. It's just saying you have a chance to get the best ever for a year. And the talent on offense for the Titans is much greater than the talent on offense for New England. Their offensive line, check mark. Tight end, check mark. Receivers, check mark. Yes. Overall, yes.
I think it's pretty good.
Yes, you would give them the check mark. Running, give me a break. The running game, check.
It's no contest.
So you check all the boxes on offense. Everything is better than what was in New England, and you have a chance to get the greatest of all time.
Let's assume for a second, because I think part of the equation that we sort of discussed, but it's a huge part of it, would be it all starts with Tom Brady showing interest and saying, yeah, hey, guys, I've been looking at what you guys are doing. I could help you guys. You know, like if he had that to me is a must, right? He has to
He's really going to do what Peyton did. When Peyton went on his tour, he was trying to pick the spot that gave him the best chance to win, and he picked the right spot.
And
Denver went to two Super Bowls.
I think Peyton Manning, you're right, he picked his spot, right, among the teams that were going to be interested. And the Titans, they put a lot of eggs in that basket,
they were in the wrong place.
They really didn't have a great shot. Now, let's say the Titans are that team where Tom Brady says, I want to play for you. That's a big factor, right? It's not you want to chase and make a play for Tom Brady. Tom Brady really has to say to Mike Vrabel, to John Robinson, guys, we know each other. We go ways back. I want to play for you. That's when it really becomes intriguing.
Can we compare where the Titans are today? Then just think about that just for a minute. Think about where the Titans are today as a whole, the whole thing, organization, everything, the market, compared to when Peyton made his world tour and made his stop in Nashville. Just think about the organization, the market, everything, then to where it is today. Yeah, would you say it's not even – it's night and day.
The roster is night and day.
The gap is, you know, miles and miles and miles.
The roster –
the difference.
The roster – the football ops part of it is night and day. I don't know that the leadership is night and day. It's better.
Oh.
It's better.
Then? They basically were Bud Adams was at the end. I mean, Bud Adams wasn't present. He was in Houston. Nowhere to be found.
It's better, but it's not what I think it can be from that standpoint. But Tom Brady is probably much more worried about the football stuff. The other stuff should take care of itself, especially
if he's signed up. Look, of all people, me, who have been very critical of the family. Amy Adams Strunk today compared to then, it is way better.
Way better, yeah.
Way better. Is it perfect?
No.
No. Does it have a ways to go? Yes. Is it way better than when Peyton came through here? Way better.
They need a team president who can help Amy Adams do what she wants to do.
They need a team president. 100%.
But we'll leave that aside. Let's get back to Brady.
By the way, look how much Nashville's changed. For the better, too.
Yes, definitely.
Way better.
But this is the debate we got into before. I love the direction that the offense is going right now with Tannehill at the helm. I can envision him doing more. Now, the red zone thing, that's a really interesting stat. They were almost lights out. We had fun saying, well, they actually kicked a field goal. I don't know that you can sustain that. Red zone is tough. You can't
think about it.
The percentage of touchdowns
two years ago,
unsustainable.
When they went to the playoffs and they beat Kansas City and they lost to the Patriots, what was the best attribute of Mariota that year? and that offense.
Yeah, he had a year where he
red zone,
like he'd never turned it over.
Out,
they had
no
a high
turnovers.
Percentage. Yeah,
yes,
it's hard to do that every year.
And what happened the next year? Right,
yeah.
You can't. It's just virtually impossible to follow that up.
Yeah,
it really is.
So, but still, I like the role definition. I like the chemistry. I like everything about the offense with Tannehill. Now, am I too loyal to that? I think that's what you have to really focus. If you wanted to go down this road, because I think the road they're going down is to make a deal with Tannehill. But it is intriguing because of the knowledge that there is a connection between
John
Mike Vrabel.
John Robinson and Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, particularly Vrabel. You know, Vrabel and Brady, when they were here, when the Patriots were here, you could see the banter back and forth between Brady and Vrabel. There's a real relationship there, right? That's real. So, is it an upgrade to have Brady? I mean, you guys were making a strong case. I have to give it to you. But I still like Tannehill. I think it's a risk to take a 44-year-old guy for basically 1 year, even though he's the greatest of all time.
Well,
honest.
It's a risk with Tannehill. Okay?
Yes, it is.
As great
no
as he was
doubt.
For half of a season into the playoffs, it's still a risk.
Absolutely.
Who's kidding who? So
agreed.
It's not like Tannehill is this, oh my gosh, this is a surefire bet.
Could he turn into a pumpkin next year? Yes, he could.
When you've already admitted, we both have admitted, there's no way you're going to have the same red zone efficiency next year. No way.
No way.
No way.
So is there
so
a
you
risk?
Know that's going to go down.
Yeah, and all summer long, people are going to look at the play action game that they had, and they'll have to adjust to the adjustments, right? They'll have to find different ways to do it. So it's very intriguing. So do they really want to go down this road? I think it's number one, the Patriots have to tell Tom Brady, you know what, we're going to go in a different direction.
He's set to be a free agent in March.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I'm just it's when you hear the words, it just seems like it doesn't feel like he's got like they have had every chance already to come out and say, guys, stop talking about Tom Brady's going to be back here. Nobody's done that. Why?
They don't have the heir apparent though. They don't have the next guy ready.
True.
If they had Garoppolo,
well, how do you know,
whoever that guy is.
How do you know
is.
How they feel about Stidham? I don't know that.
I don't know.
Do you?
No, I don't.
I don't either. It doesn't feel that way, but you don't know how they feel about Stidham.
But they haven't had a chance to get Stidham in a game to where even just one or two games to where like, yep, I think he can do it. Now, they're good talent evaluators, but I do think it's more of a possibility than it ever has been before when they get into this deal with Brady. Right.
By the way, there's a lot of people on Twitter saying that in Knoxville, they're saying earthquake. A lot of people on Twitter right now saying they feel like
an actual earthquake.
Yes, like an actual earthquake in Knoxville. That's what a lot of people on Twitter are saying right now. Jonathan, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hello.
You're on. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you said Jonathan. This is Johnson. Anyway, I'm a race fan in NASCAR, but, you know, yesterday, real short and sweet, it ain't that who's the best, but the best team won yesterday. That don't mean they're the best team, but they were the best team yesterday. And we'll just regroup, tighten up later in the year.
Yep. All right. Thank you for the phone call. There's no doubt. We said that earlier that, unfortunately, they just lost to the better team, and sometimes that happens. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The atmosphere around the building. Everybody bought into the system. Everybody was ready to go this season. Everybody understood what was at hand. And that's the biggest thing I can say is Vrabel and the coaching staff, they did a great job of bringing the family atmosphere into this building. And everybody bought into it. And that was the biggest thing that kept us running this season.
Out your locker day, unfortunately, comes to an end. It's got to be a really, really interesting offseason in this market. What will John Robinson have up his sleeve? He has sleeves. He's going to have to use both arms here because there's a lot of important decisions with already guys on your roster. Who are you going to add? What is that going to cost? And then, of course, a very, very important draft. that's coming up as well, because now this team is going to try to take that next step. And there's a lot of, you know, do you think there's going to be a Roger Saffold free agent signing? I don't think so.
I have a hard time seeing where the money's going to come from.
Right.
Now,
because they're going to have to.
It depends on who they lose, though. Like, if let's say you're allotting a certain amount of money for the right tackle position, right? You hope maybe it's Conklin. I would assume that Conklin has done enough to where at the right price you would like to have him there. He's the guy
but
you drafted.
Once
you
again, what is the right price?
That's the question. But then if it's not him, then I do think you have to spend some money in free agency. I think that's hard to say, I'm going to draft a tackle and he's going to go right in there and he's going to play. I don't maybe, but I don't
do you
know.
Have this in front of you? What did Conklin make this year?
His average was $3.9 million.
Well, that's going to go up substantially.
Well, it was anyway. That they turned down the fifth-year option, which would have been in the $10 million, $11 million. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they could have had him. They could have had him locked up for one more year at a much higher price. They elected not to do that last year, so now they've got to make the decision. So what do they value him at? That's a really good question. I don't know. They'll have their own grades and grades of other people. It took Saffold a while.
It did,
right?
But boy, it worked
out. By the
out.
End of the year, boy, you were glad you had him.
Yeah.
Just like Nate Davis. It took a while, but he's in there now. So that's a really good one. Then Logan Ryan, right? When you say, well, they're not going to have enough money to sign a free agent. Well, if Logan Ryan walks, then what do you do?
Okay.
Can you build internally, or do you try to take some of that money you would have paid him and go out and get somebody?
Before I tell you where I'm going with this, tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you value each one, Conklin and Logan Ryan, to come back? Like, how much do you value them on this roster? Give me a number between 1 and 10. Obviously, 10 being the highest. Like, that's how much you think
Derrick
of
Henry's
them.
A 10, right? Derrick,
Derrick Henry's a
10.
A 10.
Tannehill, let's put the Brady
let's
thing
put,
aside.
Side, put it aside.
He's a 9, I would say.
Okay, put that aside, though. So what is Derrick Henry's a 10? What is, let's start with Conklin.
Well, the reason I bring those two up is I think those are the top two.
I agree.
And then the next two, in my mind, are Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin.
So
those are the next
start
two.
With Conklin. What's your number?
So I'll say to bring him back.
To bring him back.
I got to go 7 because I don't think I can just say I have to pay anything I have to pay. Like Derrick Henry is whatever it takes. I got to have him. Let's try to, you know, don't kill me, but I got to have you. Conklin, you have to be willing to walk away after because you're not going to have an unlimited budget here.
Okay, so we're 7.
But he's
Conklin.
A 7.
What's Logan Ryan?
Logan Ryan, ooh, man. I think he's a 7.5.
So those numbers are...
Those are the next two guys. To me, those are guys I'd really like to have back.
So it's not a 5, which is just kind of,
No.
You're a 7 and 7.5. That means you value them.
Guess I value
what?
Them.
Guess what?
Important people. Important... members of the team. Could you replace him? Yeah. And you know, Logan Ryan's not getting any younger. He's 29, but he had such a great year.
What
he
if
knows
I told
that
you
Dean P system.
You had to pay Ryan Tannehill a lot more money, or maybe a lot more money than Tom Brady.
That's where it gets hairy. That's what I don't know.
So
is how much
maybe you're able to do more with Tom Brady. Going back to our argument and our discussion, maybe you have to do, if you want Tannehill that bad, maybe you have to do less.
But you can't know that. Tom Brady's going to be a, quote, bargain?
He's been that way in New England. What, would his price go up? You're sitting there telling me everything bad about him, his age and this and that. And so his price is going to go up?
Well, let's take a look at the supply and demand. Like, if he's out there as an unrestricted free agent just saying, who wants me? Who wants me? Then I can't imagine that it's not going to take substantial money to get him, even though he's turning 44, right? Doesn't mean he's not going to get paid pretty well.
There's also on the market.
It just takes the one team to say, I'll give you $30 million.
And that could happen with Tannehill as well.
Yeah, it could.
And it could be more than that because it could be locked up for, let's say, 2 years guaranteed. So there could be a lot more money at stake.
But getting back to the point is with Henry getting more, with the quarterback position getting more, how much does it leave you for Ryan and Conklin? Would you say those are the next two priorities in your mind? I'm looking at other guys. I see some guys I'd love to have, but as you said, what did you say, TJ Maxx? I need to have you at the TJ Maxx price.
Like, I'm not driving to Green Hills.
For
not going to do it.
Would you like to have Mykole Pruitt back? Yes, but at the same price, right? $675. Maybe it'll give you a little bump to $875 or something like that, right? I'd love to get all these guys back. I know their role. They fit perfect. You mentioned Delanie Walker and Wesley Woodyard. Those are two veterans. They have a lot of value in the locker room. Seasoned guys. But they can't make what they've been making, right? Wesley Woodyard, $3.5 million. I don't know. What would that look like next
year?
Come
back on a one-year deal.
At age 35?
One-year deal?
I don't know what I can afford, right? You can't afford everybody. I'd love to give everybody raises, bring everybody back, but it's just not going to happen. I guess the cap will go up.
Yeah,
right?
But it's still, that's more. Just not how it works in the NFL. Rosters turn over. Even the Super Bowl champ, their roster will turn over. The Super Bowl runner-up, their roster will turn over. No, everybody, nobody's exempt from that. That is just going to happen. So
then you've got your guys like Tajay Sharpe, Kamele Correa.
By the way, look behind you. Look at SportsCenter. What's their topic? Overreaction Monday. Titans must re-sign Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, there you go. Great minds think alike. LaShawn Sims, there's another guy. Would you like to keep him? Ty Smith, would you like to keep him? Those guys are ultra cheap and serviceable. They know the system. These are all the guys that I wonder about, but it shouldn't be too hard to get a lot of those guys. You know them. So at the right price, I think you bring them back. But the tricky ones, I think, are Ryan and Conklin. Those are tricky.
Well, because of what we're talking about.
Is there anybody else on the list that come close to Conklin and Ryan? I don't see it. Do you?
No.
In terms of, I really would like to have these guys back. Like, Kamele Correa, he had a nice year. Really, I hope I could find.
By the way, in the playoffs.
Did a nice job.
It was spectacular.
And he's inexpensive. So does he want to come back here? $1.4 million. He's 26.
I would say
Austin
yes.
Austin Johnson, you know, as a depth guy. Tajay Sharpe had a really nice year as a role player.
Once again, what's his number?
Yeah, these are things that they can't be as high. They're like threes and fours on the priority list, right? I don't see anybody else that's even a five of these other guys, even though they all made valuable contributions in their own role. Anthony Firkser's a restricted free agent.
A little bit
so
more
he'll be back.
Team control, yep.
So he'll be back. Man, did he make some plays in the postseason?
Yep.
Good grief, he did.
Give us a word about the good folks at the Lee Company.
Lee Company, 615-567-1000. You might have seen, we got a little snow falling. It is cold. And I told you last week to be ready for it. Now, if you're one of those people that it has to happen before you react, okay. I get it. I've done it. Pick up the phone right now. You got heater problems. You've been putting it off. And it's cold now. It's reality is hitting you. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company. It's just the tip of the iceberg about all the great services that they provide, such as the home maintenance plan. So maybe this is the breaking point where you're like, you know what, I got to change my ways. Trust me, the home maintenance plan by Lee Company will help solve that because they'll call you. They'll stay on top of you. Come out, check the heater once a year. They'll check your air conditioning unit once a year before it starts getting hot every day. So your units will be running more efficiently as a result, and you'll be on top of things. If the repairs need to be made, you'll get discounts on those repairs in exchange for the home maintenance plan. You have a small monthly fee, $9-$10 a month, and in exchange for that, you get this great service, plus your plumbing and electric thrown in as well. It's outstanding stuff. Lee Company Home Maintenance Plan. Go to leecompany.com to see more on the details, or give them a call at 615-567-1000.
you never know. Year to year, everything's different. So just because you did good this year doesn't mean next year you can go out there and say, oh, we'll be right back here. It doesn't work like that. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of underdog team like we were that was 2-4 and written off for dead. And, you know, preseason prediction go 3-13 to the AFC Championship. So, I mean, it takes guys who are working under the radar to get back here. So we can't sit here and talk about next year. I'll talk about the special locker room we have here. And it was a great run. I don't think we'll realize how great it is until we take some time to swallow it. But we did some special things, man, against all odds. And it's just a good life story of it doesn't matter other people's expectations on you. It's the expectation you have for yourself. And it takes a special person, a special team to walk in these hostile environments and compete for the most part and to win. I saw great teams, really good teams, come into playoffs and lose the first round and be upset and not even know what to do. I saw Baltimore last week look shocked. And we came in here not shocked at all. We came in here to compete. And the Chiefs did a good job of competing back and, you know, coming up with the win today.
Logan Ryan after the tough loss in Kansas City. And they certainly did overcome a lot. 2-4. Nobody saw that coming. By the way, how big was the Kansas City game here?
Well, I was just going to say, we had Logan Ryan on our show during the bye week after they had beaten Kansas City. And man, it was notable how upbeat he was. And I don't think you were there that day.
No,
Chase and I interviewed him.
I was in Gallenberg.
And he was thinking, hey, we're because I think we asked him, hey, why are you so optimistic 5-5? He's like, it's coming together. You know, you can feel it. We believe. That Chiefs win to get to 5-5 was everything.
If they go
4-6 going into the bye week,
it's not happening.
Just don't think it's happening.
Mm-mm.
That was such a big win for them. But that right there, you hear Logan Ryan. I love the mindset. That's why he's a priority for me. Right? He is a guy that does the right things. He knows the system. He's been through it. Love having that guy in the locker room. You'd be hard pressed to replace him. Now, he's getting to that age. Can you be as effective as he has been? And you can't sign him to a 1-year deal. He's probably got too much value, right? Somebody will give him a multi-year deal.
No way. He's getting him for a one-year deal.
He's going to get paid a substantial amount. It's going to cost you to take him.
He's in the prime of his career.
You still have Malcolm Butler under contract, right? He's mm-hmm. not a free agent.
Nope.
But that's where I don't know all the things. Like, what if you ask this guy to take a pay cut, or if you cut this guy, even though he's still under contract, will they have to start playing these kind of games to get the guys they want? I don't know.
Speaking of those position or that position, the secondary. Kerry Coombs looks like he's going to Ohio State. He's going to be their defensive coordinator, I believe. That's what it looks like. That's what's being thrown out there.
That reminds me of this morning as Derek Mason was leaving as we were coming in. He looked at my outfit. I have a little red and mm-hmm. gray on, and he called me a homeless Buckeye.
He did.
He said, you look like a homeless Buckeye. I was like, thanks.
Was that a compliment, though?
No, it was not.
No. Let's see. He is, looks like he's going to be the next defensive coordinator. He's going back to be the defensive coordinator. And he'll be working in the secondary. He's been really good for Mike Vrabel's staff the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So it looks like they're going to lose him to Ryan Day. Going back to Ohio State. That happens, by the way, when you start winning.
Yeah, that's another thing that happens, no doubt.
People start plucking your staff away. It's pretty interesting that they lost Matt LaFleur. He became a head coach. And you hired within. And you can make the case they got better. Even though they lost that guy to being a head coach, you can make the case Arthur Smith, they were better with Arthur Smith, right?
Better with Arthur Smith, no doubt.
Yeah.
The results would suggest.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Isn't that amazing how the stuff starts out? You lose, and you're thinking, oh, you're going to lose your offensive coordinator to be a head coach? Okay, that's big shoes to fill. You stay within, and Arthur Smith, they got better. Now the question is Arthur Smith going to become kind of a hot name at some point?
You never know.
Starting to get a lot of notoriety around the league now.
I agree. I would think that he would have to do it for another year or two before, but I may have thought that with Matt LaFleur.
I didn't think Matt LaFleur was going to get that job.
All of a sudden, he's the coach of the Packers. And he didn't do a half bad job. You know, 13-3 NFC Championship game, despite the lopsided loss, it's still a plus.
Sportsline, the odds to win the Super Bowl next season. Ooh. Chiefs and 49ers are the favorites, followed by, actually, the Chiefs, 49ers, and Ravens all have the same odds. Then the Saints, then the Patriots, then the Packers and Eagles. Packers and Eagles together. Seahawks, Cowboys, Titans. And the Titans are in a group with Rams, Texans, Vikings, Steelers. Same group. 25
Steelers?
To 1. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, I know Pittsburgh's had a lot of, but.
Well, Big Ben will be, what, 39 next year?
Is he going to be that old? Is he pushing 40?
Yeah. Right now he's 38.
Wow. I knew he was up there. I didn't realize he was pushing 40. Yeah, I guess you're right. He'll be going into season 38.
Okay. He's up there. Aaron Rodgers, 37.
Just goes to show you a run like this. 25-1. What were they this time last year? Probably 100-1.
Well, let's put it this way. I was in Las Vegas as they were losing to the Broncos to go 2-4. I watched that game where they got shut out and they hit their low point. Going into that game, I think on the board they had 150-1 to win the Super Bowl. And I would guess that it dropped significantly after that. So they must have gone down probably closer to 200-1 after that loss.
I had a buddy.
So right now you're saying 25-1 is the Titans?
25-1. I had a buddy over the weekend that was asking me a lot of questions about how I felt about the Chiefs-Titans game. I mean, a lot of questions. He used to live here. He doesn't live here anymore. And so finally, we're just going back and forth on text, and I finally said, why do you want to know so much about this game? Why are you this interested that you're trying to get every stat out of me you can, or feeling, thought? He sent me a picture. It was a picture of, what are they called? I'd have to go back and look. A futures bet.
Okay.
He made it on September 5th in Vegas. A futures prop bet. Titans to win the AFC championship, to represent the AFC. Not to win the Super Bowl, to win the AFC.
Okay, so they have to get to the Super Bowl but not win it.
They just have to come out of the AFC, so they would be, right. They would be representing the conference in the Super Bowl. He got them at plus 3,500. He put $58 on that. He would have won. Just shy, it was like 1978, just shy of $2,000 off of $58. September 5th.
September 5th, which would have been what?
It was before the opening day?
Before
the season.
Okay.
$58 bet, almost $2,000 in return, and all they had to do was win Sunday. I was like, okay.
There's always that guy.
That makes sense. He goes, yeah.
But for every guy like that, there's a gazillion others that bet on some other team or didn't even come. Somebody probably put some money on the Bears this year to.
Sure. But their odds weren't anywhere near because they were coming off of playoffs last year. You were getting the value of the Titans.
What do you think the 49ers were before the season?
There were expectations not like this.
Not like that. I bet you got a pretty good deal if you put some money down on the Niners before the season started on that exact same thing. Get to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Where you've already won what you were going to win. I wonder what that would have been.
Probably it was less than the Titans, but still, you're right. Good odds.
Yeah.
Good odds. I want to talk to all the men out there I've talked to you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, is front and center on that quest. His wife, Daphne Lodge, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff. They want to give you men the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And as we all get older, I hope you want that, like I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone and make the appointment like I have by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.
We faced a lot of adversity this year. From coming into the season, projected to go 3-13, to go 2-4, to have all the changes that we had, the ups and downs. I mean, everybody in this locker room still believe that we can make it to this point. We believe that we can win a Super Bowl. So just to understand what we accomplished this year is nothing short of incredible. I don't think any guy in this locker room should have a reason to walk out of here with their heads down. Everybody's going to walk out with their heads up. And I'm just telling all the guys how much I love them, how much I appreciate the work. Getting up here early in the morning, it takes a lot of work to get to this point. It takes a lot of mental strain. People don't really understand that, but it takes a lot to get to this point. It takes a lot to play in the NFL in these high-pressure moments and coming to these games and try to go out there and win a ball game. So I'm proud of the guys, the effort. I'm just proud of everybody in this locker room.
As you should be, Kevin Byard. There's no reason to have your head down today. I know people are sad. I can't imagine that you're mad. Come on. Although I did see a lot of nonsense on Twitter yesterday. And actually, I shouldn't say just Twitter, social media.
You saw nonsense on Twitter?
Facebook and Twitter. Like Titans fans saying that the game was rigged. You know, come on. Just stop it. The NFL won at Kansas City and they have all the bad calls. I mean, come on.
There's always that guy.
Are you kidding
for
me?
Every game like that, there's always one pinhead that's going to say
it's
rigged.
No, it wasn't
for TVs.
One. It was not one.
But
there
a lot
were
people,
many
yeah.
out there saying
well,
that.
Well, some people fell, I think, incorrectly. I don't have this verified, but you know the clip that made
yes.
the most rounds
was
the referee throwing the flag right as the ball was thrown. That guy was not calling holding. That guy did not call the holding. The guy on the sideline referee does not call holding, especially not before the ball is snapped. That's not where the holding was whistled. There was another guy that threw a different flag. Now, I didn't think the broadcast did a very good job of breaking down that play. That turned out to be a really big play, right? If the Titans get a first down there, they're close to midfield with the ball down four. Who knows?
Huge you know? Play.
That's a huge holding.
No doubt.
So did Dennis Kelly hold? I didn't really get a great angle of it. They only showed it, I think, on the game broadcast once.
But just to see all these people saying, but Titans fans, rigged. Like, it's yeah, rigged.
Come on.
They won at Kansas. Give me a break.
Please.
So you really feel that way? And if you do, if it was really rigged, why would they have the Titans versus the Chiefs? You'd have the Ravens versus the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's versus Mahomes. Give me a break. If it's rigged, they wouldn't have the Titans in the championship game. So ridiculous. Gosh. And I have to believe they believe that. If you put that out there, I guess, or maybe you're caught up in the moment. Maybe they had regret today, but I saw that. If I saw it once, I saw it many times. It's rigged. The NFL's a joke. It's rigged. By the way, did you see the penalties? Kansas City had more than Tennessee. By the way, they might want to get their offsides. They might want to work on that. Kansas City was a little quick to jump offsides or encroachment. They did not fare well.
Nope.
But come on.
But they played well.
They act like the NFL.
I really did think that.
So silly.
I really did think that in the second half, the Titans had them where they wanted them with the running game. So I give the Chiefs credit. The whole narrative that they were, because they've had problems stopping the run for a while, they have to be pretty proud that even though they only had to stop them a couple times, they got the three and outs. They got off the field before Henry could really do his thing in the second half. So that Kansas City defense, you got to tip your hat. That's what had to happen for them, and they got it.
Stephen A. Smith, whatever you think about him, I'm just repeating what he said today on his show.
Do I even want to know this?
He said, I'm here to tell you.
Did he watch the game?
If Tom Brady is really serious about leaving the Patriots, he needs to sign with the Titans.
Really? He said that?
He did.
Wow. How many Titans games do you think he watched this year?
I don't know. He still thinks Dan Fouts is the quarterback for the Chargers.
He's also been exposed a few times for an argument that clearly was given to him by a producer who gave him some bad info.
Yeah. I'm just telling you what he said today on his show. He said, if Tom Brady is serious about leaving the Patriots, he needs to sign with the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not going to be dull this offseason.
No, it is not. Just like Major League Baseball wasn't dull last week.
Oh, goodness. That's not going away anytime
soon.
How about
Altuve? That video making its rounds.
Now, I believe MLB said they looked at that, right? The whole, there was a buzzer in the uniform.
Well, I would hope so. I hope they looked at it.
But they could not substantiate it. But that video is very interesting.
If you're a lip reader, it certainly seems like he's saying, don't rip my jersey.
Well, he put his,
don't touch me.
Dikembe Mutombo. Don't, don't rip it.
And he's pointing
to his, yeah.
What other possible reason could he not have to get his jersey ripped off? That's what I'm trying to figure out, but I can't think of anything. Nothing that would make sense.
You know, the Astro, what was it, a fan thing that they had? And they had, of course, no manager or general manager, but they had Alex Bregman and Altuve do some media scrums. They didn't exactly appear to be not guilty.
No, they said nothing.
They were.
We're just going to look. Baseball did their investigation. Yeah. The Astros did their investigation, and
their decision.
We're just looking forward to sticking together as a team and getting past this. Oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you did an interview. Thanks for telling us that. they didn't stand up and say this is ridiculous.
That's certainly not what.
This
you
is absurd.
That's not what you do when you're.
Of
innocent.
Course, we didn't do that. It's ridiculous. I can't believe they've ruled like this. No, there wasn't that. It was, they've done their part. You guys have seen what's happened, so we're just looking forward to sticking together as a team. Oh, okay. Well, great.
I understand that he's kind of has to say that, but at the same time, if I had never gotten a sign, then I'd be the first to say, show me where I got the sign. I didn't get the sign. So it wasn't everybody. I guess in that way you would say, well, he's throwing some other teammates under their bus, but
JD Martinez,
he looks bad.
Did you see his interview? He's like, I look forward to hearing what they have to say. It'll show that we didn't do anything wrong. We won it legit in 2018.
Now how interesting would that be if they investigate this?
If it's the Rafael Palmeiro thing.
Well, it could be. Well, that's what he's setting himself up for if that's the case. But if Major League Baseball does come out and say, we investigated the Red Sox, we didn't find anything close to what we found on the Astros. How bad would that make the Astros look? Because the presumption, and I think what the Astros would have you believe, is that a lot of teams had their own thing.
Right.
But a lot of people say, well, it was the Astros that were driving the whole thing. They were the masterminds. They were pushing the envelope more than anybody else. Time will tell. Then you have players like Marcus Stroman coming out and Chris Archer saying, where's the swag now, Astros? Pitchers in particular.
Sure.
They should have a big beef with this.
As you said, this offseason is not going to be dull. No doubt about it. That's going to do it for our show on this Monday. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM, that's next.